Welcome to Computer Geeking.
What's the computer geek version of click and clack? I don't know. Bits and bytes.
I'm sure there is one. I'm sure. Yeah, bits and bytes. Oh, God. That's so cheesy.
What?
That is so cheesy. Bits and bytes.
Bits and bytes. Really? That's seriously?
So cheesy.
Hey.
There probably is a podcast called Bits and Bytes.
I like cheese.
I know. So, hi, everybody. Are we recording now?
Yes, we are.
Oh.
I have to use my, like, special squirrel port. Hey, everybody, voice.
Hello, Internet. Since Weird's not here. Or, if you're English, I'm Weird. So.
You can't tell.
Close enough. I'm just happy they don't think I'm weird.
No, you're not weird.
It's the pitch. I think they can differentiate.
I'm not nearly like hairy enough to be weird. Or Jay, for that matter.
Not usually.
How's
no.
your week? How's your week?
Who are you talking to?
we're being too polite. I don't want to go. I mean,
after you, sir. No, after you.
No, I insist indubitably. We turned into Chip and Dale.
You know, whichever.
Alan, your name comes first in the alphabet. You go first.
It was a week. We didn't get rain. No, nothing flooded. You know, it was a week.
Mother okay. Nature tried to kill you this week. So.
Yeah, Mother. Well, you know, no more than usual. You know.
Did Alan, have you seen like the repercussions of your hurricane? Wait, you had Hurricane Harvey.
Yes.
And then there was Hurricane Irma. So have you seen the repercussions of Harvey? Like, have you seen what in your neighborhood?
Well, nothing really happened in my neighborhood because I'm not in a flood zone. But I did, on my way back from the gym, I drove through an area that did flood. And it looked like, you know, you see those pictures from like World War II of like rubble in the streets. It kind of looked like that because everybody's gutted their houses and just piled all the crap up in the streets. So if you want to drive down a residential street, you have to like weave through the piles of wallboard and wet crap and everything else.
Wow.
Just sitting there moldering in the sun. It's kind of strange. And, and there's a smell in the air that's kind of like this, like moldy, funky smell. And I heard the governor announced that the Air Force is flying like C-130s full of mosquito pesticides all over Houston for like a month. So that'll be fun. I'm sure the chemtrail people will be.
I was just going to say the chemtrail machine is working overtime.
Yeah. So, but other than that, you know, things are mostly back to normal. You know, as long as your house didn't get flooded. Now, if your house got flooded, you're screwed. I mean, imagine this. They're estimating like, you know, between 60 and 100,000 houses that got flooded. Some of those are totaled. Some of them have to be taken down to the dirt, and if they're going to get rebuilt at all. But a lot of them just had like a foot or two of water in them, which means you've got to cut your sheetrock, you know, up to like a foot above where the water line was. Get that out, take out all the insulation, take out everything that got wet, and then find a contractor to rebuild it. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be, I bet you there's going to be houses that still aren't rebuilt this time next year.
Yeah. And I'll repeat my admonition. Do not buy any used cars for the next year or so.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I bet what's going to happen, you're probably going to be pretty safe buying a used car around Houston because everybody's going to know to watch out for a flooded one. What's going to happen is they're going to sell those at auction. They're going to load them up on trucks and haul them to other parts of the country.
Exactly.
Where unsuspecting people are going to be going, oh, a cheap car. Okay. So, or just take them down to Mexico, you know.
Yeah. We don't care if they do that.
Yeah. So. Anyway,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime. There's a big weather event.
And apparently the, you know, except for flattening a couple islands in the Caribbean, apparently the one in Florida wasn't that big a deal either.
Yeah, I think it scooted just far enough into the Gulf.
Yeah, it moved to the west just in time to avoid a really, you know, if it had hit like Miami Beach, I think it would have been a lot worse. But, you know, it just basically got Tampa, which, you know, probably needed a bath anyway.
Ooh. And the Keys. Apparently the Keys got hit pretty hard and people are
Ernest Hemingway's house and all the cats are fine.
I don't think they're the original cats.
Yeah, but they're still, you know, descendants.
They're descendants of, well, people probably don't know about Ernest Hemingway's cats.
They should.
They're polydactyl. They all have thumbs.
Yeah, there's like what? Yeah, they all have six toes. They have
the 4x4. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
they all look like, yeah.
And it's like a colony of these cats. There's like, you know, it's not like four cats. It's like, you know,
that's why they all have toes, because they're all inbred.
A bunch.
Brita,
what?
You're both a reference librarian and a cat person.
Okay.
What is a group of cats called?
It depends.
Really? I know, yes. Big cats are prides.
Right, but small cats, there can be a clowder of cats, or, and I love this, it's a kindle of cats.
Oh, that's neat.
Really?
Yeah.
That is very cool.
And I'm kind of embarrassed that I know that off the top of my head.
There's something like, yeah. It's a pack of dogs, you know, and that's easy.
No.
You know, it's a murder of crows. That's another one that sticks in your head.
Right.
And I'm like, what do you call a bunch of cats? I'm like, a herd? No, that's what you do to that.
I think Kindle is specifically kind of a kitten thing, a Kindle of kittens. I'm not sure, but it's Kindle of cats or kittens and a clowder, which is a kind of a weird word. I don't know.
Clowder.
There should be something better than that. It should be called an indifference of cats, or, you know.
An insouciance of cats.
You know, a disappointment of cat. You know, I don't know.
A disappointment?
You know. Well, you know, because they're always disappointed in people, you know. You know,
a judgmental of cats.
A judge. Yeah.
Yeah.
A court of
cats. A review.
Oh, that's a good one. Because they do kind of like, you know, give you the thing.
Checking things out.
So, Jay, your week?
My week? Well, aside from someone trying to kill me, my week was fine.
Please tell us about this, because I saw this on your Facebook page, and I was a little, like, I didn't comment on it, but I figured, you know, I'd hear about it later.
Do you figure I'd be spun up? Oh, just some nitwit on the highway. You know,
were you in a car, or a...
Yes, I was in my car, my little car. I have a little car. Uh-huh. I do not have the giant earth messer anymore. Uh-huh.
You can say earth fucker, it's okay.
Yeah, earth fucker, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm in the left lane, and I watched this guy in a white Lexus attempt to drive into the car in front of me. Came over and then swerved back, and then as soon as that guy had passed, he whips in front of me. I had to like hit my brakes, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
Well, he was driving a Lexus.
What
were you doing on his road?
So, you know, I mean, I hit the horn because I had to slam on my brakes.
Right.
Like, hey, moron. And then, like, 3 or 4 miles down the road, I moved over to the right lane because my exit's coming up. And he literally swerved across all three lanes to cut me off again.
Like, on purpose? Or was he, like,
It had to have been, because he was in the left lane. There's three lanes. He was in the left lane. He swerved through the middle lane into the right lane right in front of me. And I'd stood on my brakes and dove into the breakdown lane.
Oh, my.
And
did you monkey nut him?
I would have loved to. It was one of those where I actually didn't flash the lights or give the, I flashed the lights, but I didn't give the finger. I didn't yell out the window because if he had pulled over, I would have beaten him to death on the side of the road. There's no right. question in my mind. I would have just pulled him out of the damn car and beaten him to death. Because it was absolutely intentional. And, you know, it's like, you cut me off twice. You, I hate people. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened. That sucks. I mean, it really sucks that people do that.
It makes me pine for my truck because it didn't happen when I had a 4-ton pickup truck. Because I would have just punted the Lexus off into the woods. Point bye.
You would think somebody with a Lexus would be more careful.
Why? He's got a Lexus. Get out of his fucking way.
But
the road belongs to
me. My feeling is always this. When I'm on the road I get in a tangle with somebody with a nicer car than I have, I think, like, do you really want my Mercury Grand Marquis to like annihilate your whatever your little crappy sports car is? I mean, you really want that? You know, because it probably wouldn't hurt me as much as it would hurt them. And I always think that about people with like fancy sports cars that are zipping through the roads and cutting people off and blah 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 blah. I'm like, what? Like, don't you must love your car. To buy a car like that, you must love that car, right? To spend that amount of money on like a little fancy car, you must love it, you know, or else you wouldn't choose it, right? For that amount of money.
You'd think. I think it's kind of like a badge of privilege. I can afford this fancy car. You peasants can get out of
well, if the accident's your fault, buddy, you're going to really be sad about your car. I'm not.
Oh, I'm going to do an Oscar level, an Oscar worthy performance. The pain. Mm-hmm. That's right, Dr. Smith. From Lost in Space for the millennials out there. I have to old splain through the airwaves, man. But yeah, it. What bothers me even more than that are the guys on motorcycles whipping in and out of traffic.
You are
waiting to smear your insides all over the highway, and you're making people hate motorcycles while you're doing it.
Yes.
You know, it makes my life harder because when I'm out for a joyride on my Harley, people see the guy in the crotch rocket whipping through traffic at 70 miles an hour. And they're like, oh, one of them jerk bikers. Oh, I'm not gonna leave room for him. I'll just swerve over and make him slam on his brakes. Ha ha. This is why I stick to back roads, because there's fewer people. And I'll
go
back to the point.
Do you go on the highway on your bike or no?
I do. There's pluses and minuses. I don't like to go on a highway when it's busy, like at rush hour. That's just nerve wracking. But a general rule, you know, just a highway in general, it's actually better because you don't have cars entering like at 90 degree angles, and they're awful here about right on red.
Right.
Because they'll just treat it like they just blow right through.
Oh. They don't actually stop before.
No. They don't stop. They don't pause. They don't slow down. It's just, just go. There's at least 13 or 14 inches between the car coming. Yeah, we're good. Which, again, get back to, I wish I had the old Dodge. But actually, I wish I had my Cadillac back. I had an 83 Coupe de Ville. It makes your Grand Marquis look small. The car had about 900 feet of hood space alone, and it was just beat up enough. You could tell it wasn't like a pristine. It was, you know, it was a beater. And I used to merge into traffic by picking the nicest car, you know, the Mercedes. I'd be like, him. And, you know, the Nimitz would very slowly pivot into position. Again, plenty of room. They had a couple of weeks to get out of the way, but. You know, you'd hear the bell, ding, 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 hold the port! And, you know, eventually we would make lane changes, but it was fun to drive a car the size of my pocket.
There is a school of thought. I myself have not. I'm not a city person. I try to avoid cities, but I know some people that do live in cities, and there's this thing called a city car.
Alan, you live in Houston, honey.
I don't live in Houston.
Okay.
I don't. I live outside the Houston city limits.
Okay. But
I'm talking about in the city where, you know, where parking sucks. You can't ever find a place to park. You're always parking on the street. People that live there in places like that generally don't buy nice new cars. They buy an older car with maybe some dents in it. It's the city car. Cause if you park a car on the street like that, it's going to get dents in it. You know? So that's just the thing.
That is wicked smart. It's like analogous in New England. You have a winter car.
Yeah, same kind of thing.
I was just about to say that cars around here, it's like, yeah, you get a new car, and then it looks good for maybe 1-2 years, and then like, it's winter, you know. You have like a crust of salt on your car that's like a, you know, a quarter inch thick.
No matter what color it is, it's white.
And you don't wash it off because it's yellow. And you don't wash it off because it's a protective coating.
Yes. Well, you don't wash it off because what the fuck is the point at that point? You know, it's like you wash it off and your car is still wet and it freezes. And, you know, it's cars around here don't last very long. Because winter. Speaking of winter, Jay.
Yes.
You're south of me, but are you seeing signs of fall yet?
We're starting to see leaves falling, you know, not a lot, but, it's, you know, you can tell it's in the air. It's below 80, which is nice. So I can go out for my run without, you know, well, naked.
Below 80. So a Texas January.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Alan. Thank you for rubbing our noses in it.
It feels like fall is early this year for us, and it makes me a little concerned about winter. But it's like, what, it's like just September, you know, second week of September.
Yeah.
And we already have trees that are like fully red, like they've, you know, gone, all their leaves have changed to red already, and it seems really early to me. So I don't know how our winter is going to be, but yeah.
Well, hopefully it gets cold quick.
Oh?
Isn't that what you've always said?
Oh, get because
cold
yeah,
quick, so the lake colder, freezes.
Yeah. If the lake freezes, we don't get any snow. Right. Yeah. But it's like that's a hard choice to make. Hey, do I want snow or do I want like 20 below zero for 3 months straight? You know? Yeah. Yay. Anyway, so
spin the wheel of winter suck.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like summer this year in Northeast Ohio kind of lasted. We had like full summer, I would say, like real summer for maybe 6 weeks this year. Maybe 6 weeks. And, you know, my tomatoes, I've got tomatoes on the vine that are just like totally green, and we have peppers that are just starting to grow, and I'm like, well, you're fucked. You know, you're never gonna ripen, sorry.
At least you got your potato crop in.
I did get my potatoes, and I have a lot of tomatoes. I have had a lot of tomatoes this year, but like, you know, there's so much other stuff in the garden that's just never gonna happen because it's already, you know, next week it may snow. So anyway, this week we had a big event happen. I don't know. Hillary's book dropped. This week, her post-election year fiasco memoir.
And, oh my God.
Oh. I'm, you know, okay. I've been reading excerpts of this book, and it's like, I don't want to read the book, but now I kind of do. Because it seems so bad. Like
it's the, so tone deaf. It's
yes.
It's both scary and hysterical at the same time.
Yes, and it's like, you know, you read the excerpts and I admit that, like, you know, maybe the excerpts are kind of like handpicked to make her look bad, blah blah blah. Okay, but they're really bad. And you read them and you think, oh, we really kind of dodged a bullet there.
Yeah. You know?
Oh, Hillary.
Yeah. The problem with 1984 is it made people not trust. No, because it did make people not trust the government. Oh, the problem with 1984 is people don't trust the government enough.
What's funny is that her book is titled What Happened?
What happened?
Which makes me think of the What Happened? Remember the yes! guy? What happened?
What so was that from?
It's she like left the question mark off.
Yeah.
Cause I'm based on what I've seen, she doesn't know why she lost.
No, she's completely clueless why she lost. How could all those inbred cousin humping rednecks vote for Trump?
Yeah.
It's been the consistent theme. I don't get it. I don't understand why those inbred hillbillies won't vote for me. And just the complete and utter tone deafness.
I have noticed, though, that they have stopped putting her picture on the cover of books.
Well, yeah, who wants to see that?
In 2014, she produced a book called Hard Choices. And her cover was on the cover of that book. Or her picture was on the cover of that book. But, I mean, how many books does she have, really? But, yeah, they stopped putting her picture on the cover of books. So, you know, that's kind of a blessing. I don't have to look at her on the bookshelf for however many months until, like, I have to weed out her book. Unlike Elizabeth Warren, who every day I go to work and her damn book is on the bookshelf, smiling at me.
Pocahontas.
Like, okay.
Because nobody will check it out?
Yeah. Oh, good point. It is on the book on the shelf of new books, and it's there every day.
And nobody checks it out.
Nobody's checking it out.
Well, who's going to want to read that?
Good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the one excerpt of Hillary's book that just, I read it and I was just like, how does somebody write this and think it's okay? You all can look it up, but there's this excerpt from the book where she's at some function or whatever, and a woman brings her younger daughter over to Hillary and makes her, and this is probably all allegorical. I mean, it's probably like not true, but this woman makes her daughter apologize for not going out to vote during the last election cycle. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yeah,
but,
I saw that.
And Hillary's response was like, basically, how dare you? How dare you, after all these women before you have given up their right to vote and you know, fought to vote, and how dare you, and when it's so important, and blah, blah, you know, this whole woman bullshit thing. And the mother was, like, making her child basically, like, do an act of contrition to Hillary.
And Hillary said she wouldn't forgive her.
Wouldn't forgive her! Even though, hello, it's the girl's choice, whether to vote or not.
She my said, body, screw my choice? You, I voted
sound familiar?
For
Trump. Yeah. I don't know. But well, it just smacked of, like, this whole kind of, Hillary is, she really feels that she is above us. And you know, it's like this royalty thing, this kind of entitlement.
Well, even the Democrats are sick of her shit.
Well,
I mean, yeah. In fact, there's. It's funny because you can tell she's not running for election anymore because they're turning on her.
Really?
Yeah, they're saying, like, you know, like liberals, like you're seeing, like, articles in the Washington Post and the New York Times that are like slamming her book and talking about, like what happened is a fairy tale. You know, the great tragedies, Clinton seems to think it's true. In the New Republic, shows a fatal lack of awareness.
I'll say.
I mean, it's like.
I read another quote from the book where she said, "I've always been more comfortable talking about other people than myself." Really? Like, how many memoirs have you published?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's, you read stuff like that and whether you're a big Trump fan or not, you have to look at that and go, holy crap, we dodged a bullet.
Yes.
I wonder though, like these publishers that I'm sure she had ghostwriters, which of she probably sat down and they did like a lengthy interview and like got quotes from her and blah, 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 put this book together, whatever. But I'm sure there was an editor at some point who read through this book and probably thought, oh yeah, this is great.
Oh, sure.
Because Hillary Clinton, right?
Right.
And they're all in this like bubble of we're all so great and we're all so smart and we are going to change the world and damn those cousin humping Bible thumper people for not seeing it. So you have this publisher, that's probably like, oh yeah, man, this is great. It's Hillary Clinton. We're going to sell a million copies because she's speaking her truth and blah, 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 blah. But like no one ever said in the course of this making of the book, this sounds really tone deaf. And this sounds really like you're kind of like a crazy bitch.
Because people in that bubble can't see that.
It's so strange.
And she's weeded out anyone who would say, not even no, but, well, they're gone. Right. You know, right. She's definitely not the type to keep any non-single font close to her. Like, if you don't, the sun rises and sets in the crack of her ass, you're gone.
Right.
And you surround yourself with that many people and you just make bad decisions because nobody says, are you fucking insane?
Well,
because everyone's like, they know better than that.
And that's
a good way to become a non-person.
And then Amazon's busy deleting all the negative reviews of the book.
Yeah, what is that about?
They went and deleted all the negative reviews.
Because they thought maybe it was just like trolls leaving?
Well, but that's the thing. They don't go in and delete negative reviews of other things.
Hmm.
They just did it on Hillary's book.
Yep.
According to this article, midday Wednesday, 30% of 700 reviews were one star.
Wow.
Weaponized autism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every nerd on Reddit.
Which again, Amazon wants to go down that route, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to devote an entire department to doing nothing but I guarantee you there's guys on 4chan who are just writing Perl scripts to just every 8 seconds, boom, negative, one star review. Click. 8 seconds, click. Click through a different IP address every time.
Well, and the thing is they're deleting the one star reviews, but they're not deleting the 5-star reviews.
Right. Oh yeah.
That were also created by people that never bothered to read the book.
Right.
I mean, it's impossible that 95%, according to this, 95% of the reviews have 5 stars for that book.
Yeah.
There's no possible way.
Is there literally any other book that's like that?
Well, maybe there are, but a book as politically charged as this.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to go through and delete all, I mean, Amazon knows who bought the book and who didn't buy the book. They have those records.
Right.
Right. If they're going to go through and delete all the 1-star reviews from people that didn't actually buy the book, then they need to go through and delete the 5-star reviews from people that didn't buy the book too.
I'm kind of surprised that you can leave a review without having purchased the book. I guess, you know, you got it at the library.
Exactly. And that's why they do it, because people get stuff from other places and they can, you know, they can review it. And sometimes you'll see, you know, in reviews, like, you know, I bought this, I didn't buy this on Amazon, but I bought it at, you know, XYZ place. And, you know, I mean, reviews are problematic anyway. You know, I mean, they can be gamed and they are gamed. But the problem I have is not that necessarily that Amazon deleted the reviews, but they deleted the reviews in a skewed way. I mean, if you're going to delete bogus reviews, you have to delete all the bogus reviews, not just the negative ones. Because
how do you know which is a bogus review though?
Well, how did they know which ones to delete for the 1-star reviews? I mean,
well, because Hillary.
Well, yeah, exactly. So yeah, again, it's the same.
It's bubble mentality. Yeah.
How could you not give this book 5 stars? Well, how about because it's a crappy book that is completely, you know, it's like written from another universe. The Hillary universe.
The Hilliverse?
Yeah.
It was interesting. I was kind of researching the stuff about Hillary and the book 1984 today. About everybody can look that up for themselves. I'm not gonna read it, but she had this section in her book about talking about the book 1984 and how it's so hard to like describe what she was talking about. She felt that the book 1984 or something like proved that we should trust government more and not. I don't understand her point.
I have the exact quote if you want me to.
Okay, go ahead. But I don't get it. Like my brain does not wrap around it.
It's because you're not a liberal.
Well, okay.
So she goes through this whole description of the, you know, the electric shock torturing in 1984. And the goal is to make you question logic and reason and to sow mistrust toward exactly the people we need to rely on. Our leaders, the press, experts who seek to guide public policy based on evidence, ourselves.
Hmm.
So, yeah, she's completely.
It's
wrong.
Yeah. But it was very interesting to see the Twitterverse go through these machinations of trying to explain Hillary and how no, she didn't mean that we should trust government. She meant that we should trust ourselves, and she meant that we should not let authoritarianism make us all afraid of experts, or like it was like this whole like thing that everybody would like, you know, all the liberal women on Twitter were trying to explain the explanation, and it was like this whole thing. And wow, I was like, okay, but yeah. Did you read the book? You know,
no,
did you
read,
the-
read it?
And that was my first thought. I thought, you know, Hillary is explaining the book 1984 to people who probably have not read the book.
Oh, I'm sure they haven't.
Who probably will not go and read the book. But they know 1984, the book, as, ooh, this kind of, you know.
It's about Nazis, right?
Nazi book. Yeah.
It's all Nazis. It's Nazis all the way down.
Yeah.
Brina!
What's funny?
Nazis. I saw a turtle on my run yesterday.
Oh.
Because it was turtles all the way down?
It just clicked.
Is that what happened? What kind of
yeah,
turtle,
I'm
Jay?
I'm just running, and I'm like, that's a weird rock. Rock is, it's a turtle!
Was it like a box turtle?
Tortoise?
Tortoise?
Tortoise, I'm not sure.
A tortoise?
tortoise.
Turquoise, tortoise.
I didn't stop to check gender, but it looked like it looked like Myra.
Oh.
So had those same rapey eyes.
So it was a box turtle. You're talking about they don't put Hillary's picture on the books anymore, but no. You know, this book is perfect. This book is like rife for spoof covers.
It
like,
really is.
You could like picture Hillary in, like the Bugs Bunny cartoons or like the Roadrunner cartoons where Wile E. Coyote goes to like set a bomb for the Roadrunner and it blows up on Wile E. Coyote and he's just like nothing but a smoking hair and eyeballs blinking. And you can imagine that, you know, Hillary in a cloud of smoke looking a little singed and what happened, you know?
What happened? What is the what happened from? What is that from?
What happened?
What's that from?
It was a meme.
Oh, God. I keep thinking it's like from like Saturday Night Live or.
No, it was a meme from some movie.
What happened? Oh, it's that guy, A Mighty Wind.
Yeah.
A Mighty Wind is from the movie A Mighty Wind.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
Yeah.
Everything okay?
Have you seen The Mighty Wind, Jay?
I have not. Is it like Spinal Tap, Break Like
yeah,
the Wind?
Yeah. It's like Spinal Tap and like, what's the other one? With okay. The dogs. The dog show one.
And they're playing poker. Oh, Best in Show.
Best in Show, yes. Those are so good.
That was a good one.
They were all really good.
What happened? So, and it became an internet meme.
You know what? I Googled what happened, and one of the top stories that popped up was the long list of who Hillary Clinton blames.
Everybody
from the BBC. Thank you, BBC. That's funny. Yeah, everybody. Poor Bernie Sanders.
He got a third beach house out of this. So
I know.
And his wife ruining a college, completely forgotten.
Oh, really? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The land deals that she pushed them to make put them into bankruptcy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Has anything happened? Has she gone to jail? Nope.
Huh. Interesting.
So, Bernie got his.
Yeah. You know what? I might run for office. I could use a beach house.
He served his purpose. He made Hillary look more centrist.
Yep.
And that's all he was there for.
Yeah, that is all
he
was
there for. It's funny that they had to go to Bernie freaking Sanders, but...
So, well, they couldn't find anybody further to the left than Bernie Sanders.
Right, they had to actually go to an honest-to-God socialist.
Right. And they were like, holy shit, this guy's popular.
Right. How on earth this old, white-haired, white dude is popular with millennials is beyond me. Well, maybe the fact that he's telling them, oh, we're going to give you free college.
That's exactly what it is.
Did I tell you the story about the guy at Mike's work?
No.
Maybe?
Hello?
No.
No, you didn't.
You didn't, so sorry, that was a yes, please tell us about the guy.
No, there was... I just lost audio.
Oh, you're still here.
No, I lost audio. I didn't hear you guys at all.
Uh-oh. Can you hear us now?
The NSA must have kicked in.
That was really weird. I don't know if I told you guys about the guy at Mike's work, but prior to the election, he was driving around with a bumper sticker, Bernie Sanders bumper sticker on his car. And mind you, Mike works with a bunch, like, the office is filled with white men, okay? And not just white men, but white men with degrees. Like, they're all engineers. And Mike was like, what's with this Bernie Sanders thing? And the guy at his office, I'll call him Joe because his name is Joe, he was like, I want to get on that Bernie Sanders train of free stuff. I want my college paid for, and I want the free whatever. And Mike was like, you're a white guy with a job. You are the source of the free stuff for other people.
Yeah.
And so I guess Mike has been kind of educating these young white men with degrees that, you know, yeah. they get out of college and they all are like really smart guys and they're young and they get out of college and they immediately get jobs. So they have not ever had an opportunity to, like, between college and job, they have never had an opportunity for real life, you know?
That's because they were smart and they got degrees that were actually, you know,
useful. And so they go right out of college to get a job. And so they still kind of have that college mentality of, you know, political mentality of, you know, the bullshit they teach. Yeah. Bernie Sanders. Woo. Yay. Everybody is equal and free stuff for everybody. Yay.
You'd think their introduction to Mr. FICA would have ruined that for them.
You would think. But apparently it takes time. So, yeah. So I guess Mike has been like, it has been like his kind of mission at work to kind of educate the young white guys that, you know, say goodbye to half of your paycheck. Cause it's going towards all that free stuff for other people. Anyway, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
He's talking smack about Hillary now that the book came out. Actually, everybody kind of is. Like, yeah, Sarah Huckabee, who is the press secretary now for Trump, they were asking her, you know, about the book. Oh, what does the president have anything to say about Hillary's new book coming out? Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, well, I'm pretty sure that the president knows what happened. You know, he's pretty well aware of what happened. So.
Yeah, he doesn't have to read Hillary's book.
No, he doesn't have to read the book.
To find out what Hillary thinks happened.
He knows what happened. I believe the phrase, beaten like a rented mule, came in handy.
And yet, they never saw it coming. It's so weird.
Well, they didn't see Reagan either. Either time.
Hmm.
84, they thought Wandale had a chance right up until like the night before. Oh, the infamous... oh, what the hell was her name, Alan? Help me out. About Nixon. I don't know how he got reelected. I don't know anyone who voted for him. Parker? No, I got to look it up.
Nobody I know voted for him. So how could he have possibly won?
Oh, yeah. Pauline Kael.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only know one person who voted for Nixon. Where are they? I don't know. Oh, her actual quote is kind of hilarious. Oh man, where's the? Great.
Dead air.
Now I can't find the stupid thing. Apparently, Pauline Kael was like the female version of. Crazy Uncle Joe. She said a lot of weird shit.
You know, they keep talking about Joe Biden's running.
Seen that.
Yes, he's running out in traffic.
Oh my gosh, I hope it's true.
Comedic gold. I seeing what Trump would do to Joe Biden would be worth the price.
I'm thinking the Democrats. I mean, look at who the Democrats can run. Maxine Waters. Oh, please, 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 please.
Yes, please, God.
Pocahontas.
You know who would be like on par with Maxine Waters would be the guy who suggested that Guam would tip over.
Hank
Johnson. Yeah.
Run that guy.
Run him.
Or the, you know, you could run the Seattle mayor who just resigned for molesting children.
Yeah.
How do you know he's a Democrat? Because he's in jail. And they didn't put a D after his name in this newspaper story.
Or what's his face, Yee there in California, who is, you know, campaigning for tougher gun laws while selling grenade launchers.
That's just business. That's just business. He didn't want the competition.
Oh my gosh. Meanwhile, Harvard beclowns itself.
Again?
Yeah. Chelsea Manning is a fellow.
And somebody, one of the professors resigned.
Are they assuming his gender?
And they keep showing the picture, and I'm like, my God, it's Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see Marilyn Manson there. I can't help you.
I really think that men who want to, they all need help.
Phone call, Jay.
Hello? Hello? But they all need help in the makeup department.
No.
What? If you're going to...
I'm not sure there's any amount of makeup that's going to make that guy look like he's not a guy.
Okay.
I don't know.
Finally stop ringing.
Did you take your call, Jay?
No. The phone literally never rings except Thursday night. It's like, it's just so I can look like an anachronism. Oh, Jay's got a landline.
There was a guy, who was a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government resigned because they hired Manning.
Really?
Yep. He said in his resignation, unfortunately, I cannot be part of an organization that honors a convicted felon and leaker of classified information by inviting.
What floors me is they put Chelsea Manning in the news. Chelsea Manning, who Aldrich Ames level espionage against the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Pardoned by Barack Obama.
Yep.
But we should care that Trump pardoned Joe Arpaio.
Yeah.
For contempt of court.
Yeah, exactly.
For a fucking misdemeanor. And exactly. Trump should resign over this. Granted, to the left, Trump should resign over continuing to
exist.
Use oxygen.
Yeah.
But
it's not the same. Yeah, I've seen so many false equivalences over the Trump pardon of Arpaio and all the actual criminals that Obama pardoned. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, a lot of illegals and, you know,
murderers
that
and
went
rapists
after they got out of prison went on to commit ever more crimes.
Right.
You know, thanks, Obama. Yeah. You know, I just wanted to, at the end of the hour, we're almost done. I just saw an article, and I'm going to say this for Jay, but they have just done a study where bald men are perceived as more attractive and more dominant. Jay, how do you feel about that?
Well, I endorse this view, but apparently Alan burped for rebuttal.
Now, you shave your head. You actually have hair growing still, right? It's not like you're completely bald, right?
Not completely bald, but I have like the accountant ring. I mean, I'm...
The accountant ring? Is that what it's called?
It's what I call it. I mean,
if his hair grew in, he'd look like a monk.
You're a reverse monk. I have a reverse mohawk. There's no hair in the middle, but it's all on the side.
No, the monks would shave the top.
George Costanza. Well, monks would just be the little... circle right on the back of the skull, like where you'd put a yarmulke for a Jewish man. But no, I mean, when I'm on vacation and I don't shave my head for a week, you can see stubble. It's just along the sides and the back.
So you look like that guy that was like the assistant in the Cloud City on.
Yes. Thank you for making the nerdiest bald guy. I do find that study interesting because for a very long time, I kind of, you know, unofficially kept tabs on how bald men were represented in Hollywood. Because it was like, you know, near and dear to my heart. And for the longest time, bald guys are either Lex Luthor or Clarence Boddicker, psychotic killers, or they're George Costanza, the bumbling loser. Right.
I think it depends on the kind of baldness. No, I mean, think about it. If you're, you know, the like Telly Savalas is like the classic.
Yes.
Bald guy. I think the actors and the characters that like embrace your baldness, they're like the anteater, fuck you. I'm a bald guy. Fuck you. You know, versus the ones that like try to pretend they're not.
The comb over.
Yeah. The comb over, the hairpiece, the
toupee, the
whatever,
dance.
You know, I mean, it's like those guys, those are the ones that are the laughing stocks and all that kind of stuff because, you know, but the ones that are like unabashedly, you know, fuck you, I'm bald, you know, those, you know, I don't know. I go, you know, Yul Brynner, Telly Savalas.
The guy from Alice's Restaurant.
Vic Tayback.
Yes. Tayback. Yes.
Yeah. God, don't ask me how I knew that, but.
For some reason, I had this big, when I was a kid, I had like these crushes on swarthy bald men.
And like, how old were you when you had these crushes on swarthy bald men?
Well, anyway, so it was like Telly Savalas and the guy from the Mel's Restaurant and Mel's Diner or whatever it was. And Mel's Diner, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Not Alice's Restaurant. That was something
else. No, Alice was the Alice. Was
no,
the waitress.
Alice's Restaurant is something else. It's like Woody Guthrie or
whatever
the fuck on Thanksgiving.
Woody Guthrie did Alice's Restaurant or
totally different thing. But bald swarthy men, weird.
Holy
when I was
crap.
Young, but the same does not go for women, you know.
Bald women,
bald chicks, yeah, not a thing. Unfortunately, because I would be totally willing to shave my head.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty hot bald chicks.
It's a real pain in the ass, Britta. It really is.
Is it? You know what? I'm not even really good at shaving my legs, so I'd be the worst bald chick ever.
I think the problem is you got to be bald, not stubbly.
Well, and I have to do it every day because it just grows in, and I
just like do the face and then go up your head.
Yeah, pretty much. I start pretty much at the ear, come down to my goatee. On both sides, do under my chin, which is like 40 grit sandpaper, and then the sides and the back. I only have to shave the top of my head like once a week.
Oh,
because it kind of looks like, you know, Chernobyl. There's like little sticks poking up here and there, but that's all there is. Hey, I'm lice resistant. Thank you very much.
Yes, you are. Well, they do say that men who go bald have more testosterone.
They don't say that. That's what actually happens.
It is true, right? More testosterone. So you're just manlier.
Our bodies do not process testosterone. So it just sticks around and builds up. Because that's how we roll.
Huh. I don't know. It's all very mysterious.
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Also,
you know, I've thought about that, bleaching my eyebrows for Halloween. And getting
put on a white t-shirt and
tight white t-shirt. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And since I've been working on my arms, Brita, you'd be happy to know.
I have not seen any pictures.
It's very hard to get a picture of yourself flexing. At least for me.
I'll arm wrestle you.
You obviously have not been like embracing the selfie.
No, I'm not a selfie person. I don't like, you don't like the way you look, you don't take selfies.
I think it's a generational thing.
Yeah, that too.
I think, you know, I mean, those of us that, okay, so those of us who didn't grow up with, I mean, when I grew up, and Jay and even Brita, when we were kids and we were growing up, if you want to take a picture, it was a process.
Oh my God.
Yes. You remember? I mean, you had to get the film. You didn't even know what you got.
It was like a week later.
It was every shot was a Hail Mary. You know, it's like, is it going to work or not? I don't know. Maybe it will, you know, and when you get your pictures back, you go through and you're, oh, crap. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, crap. What the hell is that? There's always like one, what the hell is that in the role? Where you're like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. I can't tell. It's some blurry thing. But nowadays it's like, you know, I've put on my old grumpy man voice. Kids these days, you know, when you grow up with a camera on your phone and everywhere you go, you know, people take pictures of stuff that, I mean, I take a lot of pictures, but I don't take as many pictures as a lot of these people do.
All my pictures are cat pictures.
Yeah, most of mine are
too. Turtle.
Cats and turtles on my phone.
But I look at, like, some people have, like, their Instagram feeds and stuff like that, and they're like, I mean, there are people I've stopped following on Instagram just because they post so many fucking pictures of themselves. I'm like, how do you take like 20 pictures of yourself and post them in a day? Who does that?
Pretty self-absorbed. I'll bet Barack Obama's Instagram is like that.
Probably is.
Does he have one?
I'm sure somebody has one.
It's on his BlackBerry. It's very interesting that you bring that up, Alan, because I was talking to our head of photography today. Early morning chit chat about how much easier it is to do a magazine with digital cameras.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that you have the instant feedback and you know instantly whether the shot worked or not.
Yep.
You know, that even at its best, you could have results by the end of the day with film.
Well, yeah.
It was very expensive. Right. And, you know, it was most often done the next day. You take a picture one day and have the film back the next, you know, the actual prints back the next day.
Right. And then maybe you got to do it over again because they all sucked.
Right. Oh, they would leave the sets up. Because there's no point breaking it down because you might not get the picture.
Reshoot.
Oh, it's just, you know.
Now you take the pictures in the studio, especially with your camera tethered to the giant monitor screen, and the picture shows up instantaneously.
Actually, what they have is Wi-Fi enabled cards in the digital camera.
Uh-huh.
It's just, you know, you take the picture and it just whoop.
Yeah, it shows up on the
computer. Whatever that magic is.
Yep.
Like, when you think about it, like that sort of technology to someone even 100 years ago, they'd be, it's magic. Yeah. Plain and simple. You can capture an image and send it to a giant monitor instantly. You'd be burned as a witch. All right. Alan would be burned as a wizard, but I don't want to assume his mythical magical creature.
Well, I think there's this
maybe not 100 years ago. Maybe
there's this saying that I forget who said it first, but any sufficiently advanced technology appears to be magic,
indistinguishable from magic. It's Arthur C. Clarke.
Okay, so but I don't know that that's necessarily true. I mean, if you took Isaac Newton, for instance, and showed him this, he'd go, oh, yeah, great technology. I mean, he wouldn't think it was witchcraft.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's, you know, really.
And if you took, you know, if you took Galileo and did it, or if you took Socrates, I mean, if you took any intelligent person throughout history, I think they would instantly grasp the concept of advanced technology and go, oh, cool. Look what I can do with this. You know, imagine
so crazy.
Imagine Beethoven with a MIDI keyboard and a synthesizer or something. You know, I mean,
I just got this mental image of Shakespeare tapping out a sonnet with his thumbs.
He'd do it too. in 140 characters, man. He would own Twitter. You just know it. He would own fucking Twitter.
Is there a Shakespeare tweets?
Of course there is.
Oh, there's gotta be. Billy S.
Billy S. Oh my God.
The real Billy S.
The real Billy S.
Verified.
Verified, yes.
Oh man. Hey, look, we hit an hour.
Hey.
Imagine that.
Well, it was a little bit quieter of an hour this week.
Yeah, we missed
because Weird. Because Weird is on a date with his wife.
A well-deserved one, too.
Yes, well-deserved. I hope they're having a great time. Whatever they're doing, I don't want details.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But I'm sure we'll get them.
You know, I like Weird. And I love that guy. I've known him a long time. I think I've known him actually longer than I've known either of you. Because I met him on, what was it called?
Live Journal.
Yeah, yeah.
The wrist cutting.
It's so long ago, I can't remember.
Site.
Yeah, Live Journal. But and I was the one who pressed him to get a blog. And I love that guy.
I remember that. I remember he stuck with Live Journal for the longest time.
For the longest time.
And then he finally succumbed and started a blog right about the time blogs were like dying.
Yeah. But I often think about his wife, and I think she must be the most patient person. Jay, have you met Weird's wife?
I have.
Is she super patient and like?
She's a very nice, wonderful person.
I bet.
With a hole in her head.
Yeah, I was going to say she's she is brain damaged. So.
Okay. And on that note. Oh my God. I was trying to be nice.
Oh please. Weird would be laughing about it too if he was
here. Yes,
he would have brought it up. Who
yeah,
are you?
He would have. He would have. Oh my goodness.
Well, on that note, same bad time. Same
and we'll be back with Weird next week.
Next week.
It will be 100% more Weird.
Yep.
Barring any disasters.
Yep.
So have a great week, everybody.
Try to kill us again.
All right. Yeah. Goodbye.
Good night.
Night, y'all.